NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is September 14th, 2017, and we're talking with colleagues. I'm really excited to talk to them about the 4T Virtual Conference on Digital Writing. I'm your host, Christina, here at the NWP, and I'm calling in from Philadelphia. Today, we're talking about the 4T Virtual Conference, which is an online teachers teaching teachers about technology. That's what the 4T stands for. The teachers teaching teachers about technology event that focuses on research, pedagogy, and tools of writing in digital spaces in the K-12 classroom, sometimes K-16, and we can talk about that a bit. It's hosted by the University of Michigan Schools of Education and Information and the Oakland Schools, and it's supported by a range of partners, including the National Writing Project. We are really pleased to have several guests here to talk with us about this conference and how it came into being, what inspired it in the first place. We'll also hear about what we can look forward to tapping into this year. It happens in mid-October, on October 15th and 16th. And then also some ways that a virtual conference like this supports both teacher leadership and writing project work in general. And we'll get to talk and think about that together. On today's show, we're really excited to welcome Troy Hicks. He's the professor of English and Education at Central Michigan University and, as many of you know, director of the Chippewa River Writing Project. Bob Jobin's here. He's a program associate at the National Writing Project. John Wargo's joining us. He's an assistant professor in the Lynch School of Education at Boston College. And we also have Andrea Zellner. She's the literacy consultant in the Oakland Schools and Red Cedar Writing Project TC. Thank you all for joining us.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so I am really excited about this event. And so I feel like it would be great to just hear more about it. Maybe to kick off the conversation, Andrea, you and Troy can provide us a little bit more information about it and sort of some of the background of it about the event. So what is the 4T conference and how did it get started?
So I'll go ahead and start. I think for our listeners who are new to the 4T virtual conference idea, they should expect a conference in which they are expected to engage and write online in a webinar format, but we really pursue this idea that webinars should be interactive and interesting, and it's not really a sit and get idea. And so this year, our steering committee decided to focus on media literacy in general as our focus for our keynote. And we really have been pushing the boundaries to think about how to present different writing invitations to folks as they push their practice into online spaces.
Great, thanks. I had background noise. I put myself on mute, so sorry about that. Andrea, I was wondering, could you tell us real fast the URL, because I realized I didn't say that at the beginning.
Yeah, so in order for people to register, they're going to want to go to 4TDW, virtualcon.com. So it's all one word, 4TDW, virtualcon.com. And they can go ahead and register. There is free professional development credits that a number of different states will honor. Folks can get a certificate, and it's all for free. So in order to get all the good information and content and reminders as we go forward, folks are just going to need to go out and fill out the registration.
Awesome. That's great. And so how did this thing get started in the first place? Like, what was its inspiration?
So back in 2011, and this is Troy, Liz Kolb, who is a professor of educational technology at the University of Michigan, worked with some of her colleagues to start the original 4T virtual conference with this idea of kind of a, an open educational resource ethos, and the idea that, of course, like the National Writing Project, teachers could teach teachers. And so she was able to coordinate the original conference in 2011 and some subsequent conferences that came up, I believe, 2012, 14, 15. There might have been 1 year that they missed in there. But the idea was that they were going to have a four-day conference and a number of different sessions that teachers would present. They would get some training and background on how to do really effective and interactive webinars, as Andrea mentioned a moment ago, and that they would be then presented and available for free. And actually, the archives of all those webinars are still available on the 4T VirtualCon site. So then in 2014, summer of 2014, Delia DeCourcy from Oakland Schools at the time, she's moved on to a new role now, but she was part of the Oakland Writing Project leadership team, contacted me and a few other colleagues and said, hey, there's this 4T thing. What if we did a 4T on writing in digital spaces? And from there, it just snowballed. We had our first planning meeting in October of 2014 and subsequent meetings over that next year where we met, recruited presenters, recruited sponsors, helped train everyone, get them set to do really highly engaging interactive webinars. And we did our first conference in October 2015. We then did our second one last year, and we are now in year number three. So that's how the 4T started, as well as the 4TDW.
That's awesome. And it sounds like you had really good participation, at least in terms of writing project sites in last year's conference. I know a lot of writing project colleagues either presented or participated. But do you want to give us a sense of that?
I got the numbers right here. So, yeah, for participation last year, we had over 800 participants from all over the country and the world. And in particular to the National Writing Project, we had over 73 Writing Project sites represented in the conference. And so, you know, everywhere from Alaska to Michigan to all over the country, we had a lot of participation. So it's exciting to see the conference bringing folks together around the idea of digital writing. And really, I think what's most important is that we have folks who are doing this kind of work in their classrooms with students rather than someone on high or removed from the classroom saying you should do this. It's really about that teachers teaching teachers and that core belief that in order to teach writing, we have to be writers ourselves, and by extension that if we want to be helping people become digital writers, we also have to be digital writers ourselves. And so this really provides the space for that opportunity.
That's great. Thank you so much. I also wanted to highlight a collection that Delia put together on the current website. So for folks who haven't visited the current yet, it's at thecurrent.educatorinnovator.org. And there you'll see a collection that Delia put together that includes blog posts from both participants and presenters in the 2016 event. And their reflections on that work. So I think that's a really interesting resource. We'll post it with the archive of this NWP radio discussion. And then also, as Troy mentioned, the archives of the event itself are available at the 4T VirtualCon site. So those are really important resources, I think, for us as a network. So it's wonderful.
Great. Andrea, I was wondering, you know, with the conference coming up really soon in mid-October, I'm sure you're very well aware of that. Maybe you and John can give us a sense of what we can expect at this conference. It sounds super exciting, and I know from last year it was really quite dynamic. So remind us first about the sort of when it is, first of all, and the other sort of basic details that we need to know, and then give us a preview of what you expect the conference to look like this year and how we could expect it to unfold.
Sure. So this year, we're really excited. The conference is October 15th and 16th of this year, and we are most of our sessions happen in the afternoon on Sunday, the 15th, Eastern Time. And then the second day is, again, in the afternoon, Eastern Time, for our conference attendees. The most important thing that people need to do at this point in time is to go ahead and register at 4tvirtualcon.com. That's 4tdwvirtualcon.com. And even if you go to the regular 4T conference website, it will link you out to our digital writing conference site as well. And there will be all kinds of information, including archives from previous years, if you want to get a sense of what the conference was like in the past. For some of the things that we're really excited about for this year, we wanted to focus on basics of digital literacy, and especially with fake news being such a buzzword this year, we invited Kelly Mendoza, Common Sense Media, to come and give us an overview of some of the work that she's been doing around bias and credibility and digital citizenship with that organization.
Oh, that's great. I love Kelly.
Yeah, we love Kelly. We're so excited about her. In addition, our opening panel, which is made up of our steering committee, got really excited about thinking about newer digital writing invitations where people could be really engaging in some ways that they maybe haven't before. And so we are planning a breakout EDU, digital writing invitation, for the opening panel. In addition, for those NWPers who participated in the Connected Learning MOOC, you'll be excited to see your work highlighted by Kevin Hodgson. And finally, I want to introduce John Wargo, who's on the phone with us, and he is doing a really interesting session on engineering electricity in the English language arts. And so we're excited to have him with us. I'm going to turn it over to John now so he can talk about his amazing webinar that he's going to facilitate.
Yeah, thanks, Andrea. I just want to sort of augment sort of the hype for the 4T virtual conference on digital writing, because, you know, as a listener the last couple of years, I often catch myself sort of like saying wow or whoa, like looking at the screen and people are walking by in my house and saying like, you know, what are you doing? But really the conference for me is just like a really exciting time where, you know, on the ground examples of teachers and tech leaders highlighting really powerful digital writing is what's shared. And for me, part of the work that I'll share this conference was actually sort of started by reaching out to some of the previous presenters of 4TDW, two teachers in particular. So, like Andrea said, my presentation is called Engineering Electricity in the English Language Arts Classroom. And in it, I examine a sort of newer concept in digital writing studies, what Greg Ulmer has called this shift from literacy as we've known it to electricity. Now, in truth, the word is really just a play on the words electric and literacy. But Ulmer sort of highlights how this shift is really important because instead of reading digital writing just as sort of like this hieroglyph of student work, we could sort of think a little bit about it as what does it sort of do to us? How is it sort of crafted as an experience? And this, I think, is really interesting because it sort of changes the way we think about students as writers from, you know, maybe just sort of a writer to an architect or designer where they're crafting an experience for their audience. So in the session, I'll ask participants to sort of help me think through this apparatus of electricity and see how invention and playfulness encompasses the digital writing that they see in their own classroom and in their own practice. I'll sort of ground the work by introducing you to two classroom teachers, Kara Clayton and Mary Kate O'Meara, amazing women who were previous 4TDW speakers. And we'll sort of, you know, look at a range of student work to examine sort of the how, the what, and the why of digital writing. So from primary grades classrooms exploring really awesome layered QR code stories that were placed in neighborhood parks, to engaging in high school youth documentary making as a form of participatory politics, which I know is sort of a theme for a lot of NWP folks. This session really is oriented to help us rethink digital writing as something that moves us to action and movement.
Wow.
It's so exciting. I'm so freaking out.
That is so exciting. Yes, that's what I've been thinking, Andrea. That sounds thrilling. And I can totally imagine people walking around their own houses sort of very excited about that. Awesome. So thanks, John. That's really great. So to do all this, let's just reiterate, to participate in this and to connect with the work that you're doing, John, what do people need to do, Andrea?
Yeah, they need to go to the 4TDWVirtualCon.com website and register. And only through registering will you be sent the links to the webinars. You'll get reminders when they're starting. You'll get access to all of the conference materials, including any additional resources or links that our featured speakers are sending out. And you'll have access to our 4TDW community, which is, as you heard from John, he started as a participant in our 4TDW rooms and connected with our presenters and was able to expand his own practice and now is back as a featured speaker himself. So it's a pretty vibrant community of dedicated folks who are really pushing on what does it mean to be literate today? What are the pedagogies of our information and technology abundant environments? And it's exciting because I think too, as a writer, for National Writing Project folks, we're all writers, and it really helps to have those extra invitations to write in different ways and to push our thinking around our own writing.
I also love this idea of
electricity.
electricity, yes, that's awesome. Because it also has this sort of like, to me, it also talks about the capacity we all have in our writing and how we can sort of build this collective capacity together. So that's super. Thanks so much for that.
Term. And it was Ulmer, A-L-M-E-R?
Greg Ulmer, U-L-M-E-R.
U-L-M-E-R. Okay, great.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Bernisky. Do you know his work? He wrote a book called Literacy in the Digital Age, and he breaks down literacy in a bunch of different ways. But the idea of owning it and having this inventiveness around literacy instead of just thinking through literate individuals as having some sort of functional decoding ability to write basic stuff is the way that we should be expanding literacy in our digital age. And I really love the way that people are playing with this idea of what it means to be literate, because I think we're all grappling with the sense that it means more than just being able to write basic things or to decode basic information, that it's really this nuanced way of engaging with texts and creating texts. And I'm really excited. And I feel like that's the theme running through all of our presenters, from Kelly to Breakout to what John's doing, that we're really thinking through, like, what does it mean in this day and age? And how do we define it? And what places do we have to be inventive and playful as we move forward?
And I think what's so unique about 4TDW is that you're able to sort of see that vibrancy across sort of the PK-12 spectrum. And that's, I think, something really unique in that oftentimes, sessions or themes of digital writing really focus on those sort of middle secondary grades. And sort of leave out primary grade students. And so in thinking about this year's 4TDW and working with Mary Kate O'Meara, I wanted to really show that vibrancy and movement of digital writing that does happen in first and second grade. As a former, kindergarten teacher, I saw that all the time in my classroom. And I wanted to sort of bring that to the conference in a more explicit way.
That's lovely. And I do think there's a lot of questions about what does digital writing and, you know, even just online, anything digital relate to younger kids, and lots of questions that both parents and teachers have about that work, right? So it's a really important space to interrogate and thinking about the literacies within it.
Right.
Yeah, we were really intentional as a steering committee, as John is raising, that we wanted to make sure that we were thinking K-12 and K-16 in some cases, because we do have a lot of university folks on the committee. And also in terms of, like, whose voices are we raising up here? Are we really being intentional about this? Are we thinking about equity? Are we thinking about whose voices are privileged in digital spaces? And so we really tried to interrogate that. One of the other sessions that speak to that in some ways, besides CL MOOC, which is so diverse and equitable and open and trying to get to those ideas, we also have a session from two teachers here in Pontiac, which is a city here in Michigan that has really been struggling in terms of the district's finances and infrastructure. And they have really been leaders. They're Oakland Writing Project teacher consultants, and they've been leaders in terms of cultural literacy and how we are culturally responsive to our students' needs. And so that's another spot where we are really pushing on, you know, in terms of digital literacy and in terms of digital writing, there is a space and a place to privilege voices that may otherwise not be heard. And so that is another way that 4TDW has really tried to push on this idea of what it means to be a digital writer.
That's right. That's great. And I really also see in this sort of core writing project ideas, too, of, you know, in order to teach writing, we have to write ourselves. We have to be digital writers ourselves. And I do know that the CL MOOC work and Kevin sort of embodies that in many different ways. And it sounds like, John, too, you're thinking about that in your session.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I am such a Kevin Hodgson fan. I think that first time I saw him present, I immediately, you know, I think imbued throughout his sessions are invitations to write in the moment. And I think that to me embodies sort of the ethos of NWP and something that really is, you know, just characteristic of the entire 4TDW conference.
Yeah, we work really closely. Yeah, we work really closely with our webinar speakers to make sure that they are interactive. They are truly interactive. What we don't want to have happen is that someone is sitting in front of their computer, not invited into this space, that they're just sitting there and getting whatever information, and then they walk away. We want to make sure that they feel as a full participant in the conversation, that they're creating, that they're writing, that they're doing the work in the moment. And so all of our speakers have invitations to participate in that way so that people are leaving with that sort of tangible product, because so often we don't give ourselves the space and the time to create ourselves as teachers. It's hard to find that space and time, and so we really wanted to honor that in terms of how each of our featured speakers are setting up the webinars.
That's great, and I love how you started this. John, you started the story with how you were sitting, you know, listening to and participating in 4T in the past, and, you know, the people walking around you are like, what is he doing? And I think that then the way that you then, you know, you were clearly an agent in sort of reaching out to other folks who were participating in this conference and engaging with them and now presenting yourself. I think that's a pretty powerful story of even how you can be part of a sort of engaged building, creating community, even in online spaces, even in this sort of virtual conference space, these kind of connections are possible. Great. Well, thank you both for that. That was a great view into the conference, and I'm more excited than ever before. So everybody should get themselves registered. We'll have a link with this show, and we'll also tweet it out online several times. But do you want to give us the URL again, Andrea, so everybody can go?
I'd love to.
Right.
It's 4TDW, so for 4TDW, virtualcon.com.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much, and looking forward to this event.
So picking up on Delia's collection from the 2016 4T conference, the one I mentioned where she pulled together bloggers and resources that participants and presenters had shared on The Current, when I was reading that collection, I realized that there was this whole discussion there prompted, I think, mostly by Kevin Hodgson and his workshop around why the digital in digital writing. And I know this is an ongoing conversation. Troy, this is a conversation you've been engaged in for many years, and you were involved in talking about this last year. And I was just wondering if we can take a moment and unpack this idea of digital writing itself so that as a listening audience, we can think about the ways that we might, what we might bring to this conference and how to enter into this discussion.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I really appreciated that conversation with Kevin as a colleague from the NWP, as a teacher, as a creative. He just brings so much to the thinking about what writing is and how it works. So I first just acknowledge that, you know, it's a great intellectual conversation to enter into, and that's one of the things that we kind of geek out about as academics. So with that in mind, I understand why Kevin brought up this concern, and I've actually had similar conversations with other colleagues who are doing professional work integrating newer literacies and technologies into their English language arts classrooms or their classrooms across the content area. And so when I think about this question of, well, do we call it writing or do we call it digital writing, I think that we still have to call it digital writing. And we do that in a K-12 system because naming things and naming differences between things, for better or for worse, is still pretty important. So, for instance, if we're going to say, oh, we're going to have literacy block, but we're not necessarily going to be thinking about technology during that time, technology is that 35 minutes that the kids go to on Thursday afternoon, I think that's a very different mindset than saying, oh, you know, we're going to be doing literacy and today we're doing a piece of digital writing. It activates, you know, something in our minds and in our kind of stance towards the teaching where the teacher is thinking a little bit more about, okay, we want to think about the intentional use of hyperlinks or the intentional design of a document or how students are going to find images and cite their images appropriately. Like, we have to be intentional in teaching those types of moves, just as we would be with any other element of author's craft. And so I think calling something writing, and yes, it's maybe it's in Google Docs or maybe it's on a blog or whatever, we could get into this nuance and say, well, of course it's digital, it's on the computer screen, but until you take full advantage of those technologies and use them in really productive ways, I don't think that's quite the same. It just happens to be writing that we're doing on a computer. It doesn't happen to be digital writing. And then the other piece of that is that, of course, you know, the naming of so many things, digital literacy, digital citizenship, digital badges, digital, you know, all kinds of different things get named. And we still use that as a way to kind of market and say, this is something, yes, we're teaching our kids to be good citizens in the world, but there are still additional skills or attitudes or dispositions that we need to bring to digital citizenship. And those are both technical skills as well as civic skills, so we need to talk about them. So those are some of the reasons why I think that it's still important to say digital writing, but it's an ongoing conversation, and I'm open to having my mind changed. So I'm curious to hear what you all think, too.
Anyone want to jump in? I mean, I was thinking that, well, I'll jump in. I was thinking that, there are these digital sort of spaces that we now all, inhabit in different ways or connect to or sort of walk across. And I tend to think of the nature of those things as spaces. Too. And so that the digital does remind us that, like, these are sort of different spaces, and we have to, and I do think it's important to have that sort of activation, as you say, Troy, to think about, oh, what are the affordances of actually this space versus other spaces that we're more familiar with? And to me, that feels like a really wonderful piece of this conference. When I look at the archives of the past conference, I can see people really getting into the nuance of what do we know from, like, many, many years, centuries of, or decades of writing pedagogy that we can bring forward, and what's really new, and what do we really have to reconsider or reimagine or even or further develop in these spaces.
I would like to piggyback on that, because I think what we're all kind of circling around in some ways is the way that the technology changes the way we approach our design of the learning experience for our learners and for our writers. And there's a great book, I'm not even sure if it's still in print, by R.W. Berniski, and it's, I forget what the title is, but anyway, he has this activity in there where he actually has folks going to different stations where they're writing with chalk, and then they're writing at a computer. And I recently did this with our TCs in our summer invitational, and we actually were using paint. And then we went to crayons and different size paper, and how each media, from the iPad to writing on giant sticky notes with a paintbrush, changed the way that we composed. And so sometimes that making that really visible in the way that Troy was describing, if we don't make that visible, then we are not designing for the needs of the learners in those spaces. And so that's a huge part. And there's a meta level on this as well, which is that in the 4TDW, we're also thinking about what it means for our learners to be in a webinar, and how do we invite them to write in that space with those affordances and with those constraints. And then we're also lifting up all the ways these design choices are happening as a teacher to a student, and then also as a writer in a new space, like the thoughtful use of hyperlinks that Troy raised. So there's just like all of this going on simultaneously, and it's complicated, but it's also exciting because it brings us lots of opportunities to think and work together.
I'm glad you mentioned the sort of the webinar context. Sorry, Troy, I just wanted to say that, like, there's an interesting thing that I also think is about sort of teaching online that you guys are all experimenting with here that I think is really important, and teaching, within a collegial environment. So, but Troy, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, first of all, thanks to Andrea for introducing somebody new. Were you talking about his Breaking Down the Digital Walls book?
I think it's Literacy in the Digital Age.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Those are the two books.
Literacy in the Digital Age. He's got these great activities that really break down literacy in different ways. And the media literacy one is one of my favorites. So.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then I was just going to add to that. I mean, I think part of what we've done with the moderators of the 4TDW, and we have a great committee, and we've had great moderators, and they spend a whole lot of time, and Andrea could probably talk to this more than I can, they spend a whole lot of time thinking about what this is going to be. It is not just going to be a slideshow where someone talks at you for an hour, which, let's face it, that's how most webinars are. You sign up for some of these free webinars, and it's like, oh, great, I'm going to get yacked at for an hour. They're really designed to be interactive and experiential in all the best ways that we would expect of a teaching demonstration in the Summer Institute or of a professional development session during the school year or something like that. So I think that to the extent that we've been able to infuse the NWP ethos throughout the 4TDW, I'm really proud of that as an accomplishment.
That's great. Thank you. That's a wonderful segue, too, I think, to some of – I wanted to bring in Bob, because I know Bob's been really thinking about the ways – he's been watching this conference and looking at the ways that both Writing Project Ethos and Principles are sort of embedded in this virtual conference, and then also wondering about the implications of the design of this conference itself. So, Bob, can I pass the host role over to you?
Sure. Thanks, Christina. Absolutely. Sure. And good to be with you, Andrea and Troy. So we're talking about the Digital Writing Conference here, the 4T Digital Writing Conference, and now going into its third year or so. And talking about the affiliations to the NWP. I know NWP serves as a partner sponsor with you guys. And we have the stats from previous years that were cited earlier, that a good number of Writing Project sites and good number of Writing Project folks were involved, almost 73 sites last year. So that's really interesting from my perspective on the national staff to sort of see a local site and a local site community in Michigan sort of teaming up and opening their work out to the network, both the NWP network and educators and teachers at large. So Andrea and Troy, as your respective roles as site leadership and as a director, Troy, how do you see a conference like this in the context of your work with the Writing Project site you're affiliated with?
Well, one thing I can say is that just the fact that it adheres to this kind of open source ethos that I know NWP has really adopted with the work on the Current and Educator Innovator, and even now the C3WP, I still call it College Ready Writers, so I know it has a longer name now. And just the fact that we're making practice public, we're making things available, I think that's really important. I have used the webinars as links for resources and kind of the modules or learning playlists, as we're starting to call them now, for my students in my online master's classes. And I know we've used clips in our professional development. So I think the fact that we're putting this out there, making it available so anyone, and especially Writing Project sites, can look at this and say, all right, well, here are examples of teachers using best practices and thinking carefully about the intersections of literacy and technology. Let's watch. Let's learn. And I would be really excited to hear if people are actually almost like you would do a book study or focus on one particular article and then have a thoughtful, maybe like a protocol conversation. I wonder if people are having conversations around these archived recordings and the extent to which they're still being used as tools for teaching and learning.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have some data. The archives do still continue to get hits, both for the 4T main and for the spin-off conferences. So clearly people are coming back to these resources, and in what ways? I can only speak to my local context. Similar for me, that we're using clips and embedding them in other online experiences or blended experiences. In terms of site leadership at my local site, I happen to be working with the Oakland Writing Project this summer and their Summer Institute, and really was thinking about the ways in which developing a Summer Institute experience was so similar to 4T. And like thinking through that we do writing and we are going public with our practice and that we're engaging with different research and we're responding to each other. There's so much collaboration that comes out of the conference, people expanding their network. We are providing opportunities for teachers to lead and learn to advocate for best practices and for what is happening in their classrooms, and all of those things come together in the Summer Institute, but we also see those things happening in the 4T and the 4TDW conferences, especially 4TDW around writing, so that we are really picking up the core of the practices that we see in traditional Summer Institutes and thinking about how that might change when we expand that community to the internet, which gives us a much larger audience with which to engage. And so that's really how I see it interacting with local site work, that we're really taking the core principles around the National Writing Project and giving folks another opportunity to engage with those practices.
That's wonderful, and it really sort of extends this conversation on how local sites can take the work they do and maybe open a little bit of that up online with new tools. So how do you see learnings that other writing project sites could take from this type of conference? Obviously, it's online, it's time-specific, it's open to a national audience. So are there certain things that you've learned here that maybe work within the context of your site community or that can be extended to other writing project sites to think about how they could maybe put some of their own work online in this manner?
I think for me, the next logical step, and this is oddly enough, I've been fortunate enough to have many of our Chippewa River Writing Project teachers present at the 4T, and Jill Runstrom has been on the committee and helped planning for the last couple of years. Now the next step is, okay, how do we do this as a site? How can we extend our reach in really productive ways? You know, we've had a good kind of track record as a site of connecting and communicating using tools like Google Hangout, or now we use Zoom a little more often, and we talk, and, you know, I've had the experience of doing the protocol discussion with people from different sites, and they end up writing about it. But what I'm really curious to think about is, how does this fit into these extended / hybrid models of leadership institutes? You know, what is it that we're going to be able to do? For instance, are we maybe going to be able to, you know, get clips of people teaching and have that integrated into a webinar, and then have people reflect on that and think about their practice in different ways? And all of this, of course, is without overburdening teachers in a way that makes it unproductive or unsatisfying. So we want to think about, what are all these great tools and technologies that we can use to capture teaching practice in the classroom, to capture teaching practice online, and then how can we deliver effective professional development? So I think there's many, many wonderful conversations to have, and it's exciting that 4TDW can be part of the launch of those conversations.
Nice.
And I just want to chime in and piggyback on what Troy said, and he sort of alluded to it, but I think one of the things as people start thinking about moving leadership opportunities or learning opportunities into online spaces is that online spaces become a garden, and a quite unruly one very quickly. So every community that you seed with interactivity, that's something that you then have to trim or cultivate or weed or whatever it is. And so I find that what is so great about the webinars is that you can, and it's the same with Twitter chats or any time you're in a Google Hangout or like the one that Paul Allison does, Teachers Teaching Teachers. They all have a synchronous moment in time where everybody's meeting together, and there's like some kind of idea that everyone's coming around. And those invitations tend to really take off, whereas things that are a little bit more, you know, back and forth, and I have to wait for a response, my forum, whatever, those tend to die out. And so webinars in the way that we're doing them, which are highly interactive, so that if you are watching the archive later, you kind of miss out on some of the fun. That's that kind of experience, and building that, you know, positivity towards that experience helps to build the online community, because people will come back again and again. They have the motivation to do that. And so I think that's part of what makes this so important, and also speaks to why having our moderators and the way that we train folks to do these sort of webinars, that they're, all of this comes together to make the community around conference.
Excellent. And Andrea, with the garden metaphor, is speaking to my own passions too. So thank you for that. So we obviously have the annual meeting coming up in a couple months, and we'll meet other writing project colleagues from around the country there. And seeing as this conference is going into its third year, what types of follow-up and conversations have you had with other writing project leaders across the country maybe at the annual meeting or at other times throughout the year about this conference and sort of people's reactions to it within the network.
Well, I've had a number of conversations, and John referenced earlier in the show how his own work came out of a 4T virtual conference on digital writing presentation that he hooked in with other teachers who were engaging in writing practices that were interesting to him, and then he's turning around and bringing back the extension of that work to our conference again this year. So I think as writing project sites are starting to think about blended and hybrid or fully online models, that one way for them to get involved is to just experience it themselves as a learner. So in terms of how are they doing this, how does this work, how does this feel as a participant, what invitations am I being brought into, and then starting there to think about, okay, well, what's my own audience? Who is my audience? What's my purpose? What kind of media makes sense for all of these things? Then that can help guide the conversation as they begin to design.
All right, really nice. Yeah.
Great. This is a really wonderful, and at the annual meeting, I think there's an opportunity. There will be an opportunity for sure to share about this work at the Current during the event in October. So I wanted to make sure to invite everybody to do that. But then also at the annual meeting, we're going to have a writing sprint workshop dedicated to writing and sharing your writing at the annual meeting. So there's also an opportunity for people who participate this year to use the annual meeting as a moment to maybe sit together and talk about some stuff that they might want to write, and to write about it during the first round is this writing sprint. So I just want to make sure to invite people to come there too, if that's a nice opportunity to sort of stop and reflect on some of this work.
Thanks, Chris. So let's do a little wrap up here. Andrea, tell people how they can get involved again, and then we'll go into some closing thoughts.
Absolutely. Please navigate your web browser to www.4tdwvirtualcon.com and register.
Great. And Troy, you'll be participating this year in some way, right?
I will. Yep. I'll be helping with the moderation and just kind of being present. Hopefully we've got a kick up our social media presence here in the next couple of weeks. So being on this episode is helpful, and we'll get some more tweets and blog posts and things like that out there. So really looking forward to interacting with everyone that will be presenting and who will also be attending virtually.
Great.
And Bob, do you want to we have a few minutes, literally 3 minutes, if anybody wants to do sort of last thoughts and comments. I'll jump in real fast and just say that I kind of love this unruly garden metaphor myself. And actually, I think that you guys, when I look at the 4T conference, it doesn't strike me as an unruly garden. It strikes me as like an incredible wealth of resources that have been well tended and that are really robust and curated very nicely. And I feel like, you know, when I think about my own online work, that that unruliness is possible. So learning from you all and like paying attention to some of the things you've been designing, the ways you've been designing them, feels like an important thing that to learn from you, in addition to these conversations about online writing. So really appreciate you sharing this work with us today.
We have a talented landscaping crew. So. Gardens alone around here.
The Michigan Master Gardeners.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thanks all. And I know the conference will
Thank
be a
you.
Great success. So jump in, sign up, and try it out if you're listening or hearing about it for the first time today.